Chapter 10 The Glorious Manifestations of the Lord. Verses 1 through 3.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Bhuya eva mahabaho shrunume paramam vachaha. Yetteham priyamanaya vakshyami hitakamyaya. Name vidus suraganaha prabhavam na maharshayaha. Aham adirhi devanam maharshinam cha sarvashaha. Yo mam ajam anadim cha veti loka maheshwaram, asam mudaha sa martyeshu sarva papaihi pramuchyate.
The Blessed Lord said, Furthermore, O Mighty Armed One, hear my supreme words, which I will tell you, with the wish to benefit you, loving one that you are. The groups of gods do not know my origin, nor do the great sages. I am indeed the origin of the gods and of the sages, one and all. He who knows me as unborn and beginningless, great sovereign of the worlds, not confused from among human beings, he is freed from all sins. The profound teachings imparted by Sri Krishna gradually dispel Arjuna's doubts. The heart of the divine teacher is like that of a mother who always wishes for the well-being of her child. Teaching an important truth, Sri Krishna says that even the gods do not know the mighty Lord, and the sages also cannot comprehend His majesty. The gods and sages are born from the highest Lord. The Lord, being father of all, is the father of the gods and sages. They are His children. The Lord existed with all His glory and majesty long before the gods and sages. They are not able to understand the highest Lord in His profundity. One who knows the truth realizes that the highest Lord of the universe was never born, that He is without beginning and end, that He is eternal and infinite. True knowledge is knowing the Lord who is without beginning and end. He is eternal and perfect. He does everything selflessly for the spiritual unfoldment of all beings, and it is for that purpose that He manifests the universe. He is kind and merciful in looking after the welfare of even the smallest of creatures. Realizing that truth, the aspirant also leads a selfless life and serves those who are weaker than himself. One who practices selflessness becomes free from all sin and bondage. He becomes pure and liberated. Verses 4-7.
Buddhir jnanamasammohaha kshama satyam damah shamaha sukham dukkham bhavo bhavo bhayam cha bhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushtis tapo danam yasho yashaha bhavanti bhava bhutanam matta eva prutagvidhaha. Maharshayaha saptapurve chatvaro manavastatha madbhava manasa jata yesham loka ima prajaha. Etam vibhutim yogam cha mama yoveti tatvataha yovi kampena yogena yujyate natra samshayaha.
The discriminating faculty, knowledge, freedom from confusion, forgiveness, truth, control, pacification, comfort, discomfort, being, non-being, fear as well as reassurance, non-violence, equanimity, satiety, asceticism, charity, reputation, disrepute. All of these various kinds of situations of beings happen only from me. The seven ancient great sages and the four Manus, my aspects, were born of my mind, whose progeny are all these worlds and people. He who knows this magnificence, vibhuti, and yoga in its reality, here becomes united with unshakable yoga. All of the innumerable qualities such as intelligence and knowledge that exist in human beings arise from the ocean of infinity, the Lord Himself, as do the seven seers and the four Manus, lawgivers, who in turn give rise to all the creatures. The qualities are called bhavas, mental creations of the Lord. They are the manifestations of the glory of the Lord, and the power that creates or manifests is the Lord's power. From the all-pervading mind of the Lord arise the mental entities. Intelligence and knowledge are ever-flowing streams from the ocean of infinity. The majesty of the Lord is displayed in the manifestations of the virtues mentioned in these verses. The aspirant who knows and is fully conscious that all manifestations arise from the Lord attains perfection. The yogi is he who is in union with the Lord. When the yogi knows that happiness and misery, success and failure, fame and infamy are the bhavas of the Lord, and that all creatures possessed of these bhavas have arisen out of the Lord, then in all situations he maintains a tranquil mind. For such a yogi, every aspect of the universe is but an aspect of the mighty Lord himself. One who remains in union with the Lord remains fearless. Verses 8 through 11.
Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattas sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite तेषामेवानुकम्पार्थम् अहम् अज्ञानजम् तमः नाशयाम्यात्मभावस्थो ज्ञानदीपेन भास्वता.
I am the origin of all. Everything proceeds from me. Thinking thus, the wise, filled with the sentiment of devotion, devote themselves to me. Their minds absorbed in me, their pranas entering into me, enlightening each other, narrating about me. They are ever satisfied and ever delighted. To them who are ever joined in yoga and who devote themselves with pleasure and love, I confer that yoga of wisdom whereby they come close to me. Dwelling in their inner self, to favor them, out of compassion I destroy their darkness born of ignorance with the brilliant lamp of knowledge. The Lord is the source of all manifestation. In the whole of the universe there is not a single object that is not dependent on the Lord. The fundamental cause of all is the highest Lord. Knowing that truth, the aspirant fixes his mind solely on the Lord and dedicates his life to him. That dedication brings knowledge of the Lord to him, and he then imparts that knowledge to other aspirants. Such a devotee sings the praises of the Lord and always remains joyful. The aspirant who practices yoga without interruption secures that knowledge. He always remains in union with the Lord. The pure knowledge received from that union removes all ignorance and enables the aspirant to achieve anything and everything that is to be achieved. One who has firm faith, full confidence, and devotion to the Lord alone remains fearless and carries out the sacred mission of the Lord. He has lifelong dedication to the Lord and gladly courts death while carrying out the divine mission. He walks on the earth fearlessly and gives the message of fearlessness to others. To impart that knowledge becomes his prime duty. He teaches the knowledge of the divine in a simple and lucid manner wherever he goes. He always sings the song of divine joy, which gives him the highest of happiness. One whose life is fully dedicated with mind, speech, and action to the Lord alone remains ever filled with divinity. Such a great one is called a perennial yogi. In all situations of life, his sadhana is never interrupted. His love of life is service to the Lord, and with his heart and mind full of love for God, he always remains in sadhana. Sadhana becomes his life. One who has attained this buddhi yoga, the yoga of pure reason, always remains in union with the Lord. He perennially enjoys the love divine. In the mind and heart of such a yogi remains the presence of the Lord all the time. Because of pure knowledge, ignorance does not exist at all. Verses 12 through 18.
Arjuna Vacha. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum Ahustvam Rishayas Sarve Devarshir Naradastatha Asito Devalo Vyasaha Svayam Chaiva Bravishime Sarvametad Rutam Manye Yenmam Vadasi Keshava Nahite Bhagavan Vyaktim Vidur Devana Danavaha Swayam evatmanatmanam vetatvam purushottama bhuta bhavana bhutesha deva deva jagatpate vaktum arhasi asheshena divyahyatma vibhutayah yabhir vibhutibhir lokan imamstvam vyapyatishtasi katham vidyamaham yogins tvam sadaparichintayan keshu keshu cha bhaveshu chintyosi bhagavanmaya Vistarenatmano yogam vibhutim cha janardana bhuya kathaya truptirhi shrunvato nasti me mrutam.
Arjuna said, The Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Abode, the Supreme Purifier are you, the Eternal Spirit, Purusha, the Divine First God, unborn and all-pervading. So say all the sages. And the celestial sages, Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyasa, and you yourself are also telling me so. I believe all that you are telling me to be true, O Keshava. Neither gods nor demons know your origin, O blessed Lord. By yourself alone you know yourself, O unexcelled spirit, O nurturer of beings, Lord of beings, God of gods, Master of the world. It behooves you to tell me all your celestial magnificences, vibhuti, by which magnificences you dwell, pervading all of these worlds. Ever contemplating you, how may I know you, O yogi? In what aspects are you to be contemplated by me? Tell me in more detail your yoga and magnificence, O Krishna. Hearing this nectar-like speech, I am not satiated. Having received the knowledge directly, Arjuna realizes that the Lord is present everywhere. In these verses, he praises the profound teachings of Sri Krishna with eagerness to know more about the Lord of life and of his glory. The Supreme Brahman, the highest and holiest abode, is the final destination of all aspirants. The sages who have already trodden the path of light and have attained the purest knowledge have described the Lord as eternal, birthless, and infinite, and the all-pervading center of omnipresence. He is the Purusha, found in the deep recesses of the city of life and throughout the universe. Sages like Narada, Asita, Devala, Vyasa, and many others who have attained self-realization describe the Lord in one and the same way. Their descriptions do not differ in any way. The 14th verse explains that neither those who are godlike nor those who are demonic have any knowledge of the Lord. The words godlike and demonic are used respectively for students of good and bad character. In ancient times, all kinds of students possessing various qualities used to study together in the gurukulas, ashrams, or places of learning where spiritual knowledge was imparted. Here, the student would sit at the feet of his guru in order to learn the paths of spirituality and receive teachings on divine knowledge. It is said that Indra, the king of gods, and Virochana, the king of demons, stayed at the gurukula of Prajapati for many years to master the science and knowledge of the self. But neither of the two could grasp that profound knowledge. The god's aim was the attainment of self-realization, whereas the goal of the demon was the enjoyment of sense pleasures. Indra, being of a divine nature, stayed in the Gurukula for 100 years to accomplish his goal of self-realization. But Virochana, the demonic king, abandoned his studies and went back to the world to enjoy its pleasures. The highest Lord is sovereign among all gods. He is the master of the universe. It is he alone who knows himself thoroughly. Though he is omnipresent and omnipotent, his manifestation differs from one place to another. Ordinary people do not know that the Lord is everywhere, that the presence of the Lord is in everything, even in the smallest molecule. Although Arjuna understands that the Lord is all-pervading, he is eager to know the mystery of manifestation in diversity. Aspirants like Arjuna, who desire to meditate on the highest Lord, fail to understand the idea of meditation on the imperceptible omnipresent. They wonder, if there is nothing concrete to meditate upon, how can one meditate? The Lord is formless. How is one able to meditate on the formless? How is it possible for one to meditate on something that has no shape, form, or size? That is Arjuna's question in verse 17. All aspirants have one and the same question when they are made aware of the formless Lord of all. In the 18th verse, Arjuna, realizing that in meditation he will have to concentrate his mind on some form, asks a specific question. He wants to know what is the special and significant manifestation, vibhuti, of the Supreme Lord upon which he can focus his mind during meditation. Sri Krishna answers that question in the following verses. Verses 19 through 40.
Shri Bhagavanuvacha. Hantate kathayishyami divya hyatma vibhutayah pradhanyatah kurushreshta nastyanto vistarasyame ahamatma gudakesha sarva bhutashayasthitah ahamadischa madhyamcha bhutanam anta evacha adityanam aham vishnur jyotisham raviraunshuman marichir marutamasmi nakshatranam aham shashi vedanam samavedosmi devanam asmi vasavah indriyanam manaschasmi bhutanam asmi chetana rudranam shankarascasmi vitteso yaksharakshasam vasunam pavakascasmi merushikharinamaham purodasam cha mukhyam mam viddhi partha bruhaspatim senaninamaham skandah sarasam asmi sagarah maharshinam bhruguraham Gram asmyekamaksharam, yajnanam japayajnyosmi, stavaranam himalayah, ashvattaha sarvavrikshanam, devarshinam cha naradaha, gandharvanam chitraratha, siddhanam kapilomunih, uchchai shravasam ashvanam, viddhi mam amrutodbhavam, airavatam gajendranam, naranam cha naradipam, ayudhanam aham vajram, dhenunam asmi kamaduk, Prajanaschasmi gandarpah, sarpanam asmi vasukih, anantaschasmi naganam varuno yadasamaham, pitrunam aryamachasmi yamasayamatamaham, praladaschasmi daityanam kala kalayatamaham, mruganam cha mrugendroham vainateyascha pakshinam, pavanah pavatamasmi ramaha shastrabrutamaham, jashanam makarascasmi srotasamasmi janavi, Sarganam adirantascha madhyam chaivaham arjuna, adhyatma vidya vidyanam vadaha pravadatamaham, aksharanam akarosmi dvandvaha samasikasya cha, ahamevakshayakkalo dhataham vishvato mukaham, mrityuhu sarvaharaschaham udbhavascha bhavishyatam, kirtir shrir vakcha narinam smrutir medha dhrutik shama, Ruhatsama tatha samnam gayatri chandasamaham masanam margashirshoham rutunam kusumakaraha. Dyutam chalayatamasmi tejas tejasvinamaham jayosmi vyavasayosmi sattvam sattvatamaham. Vrishinam vasudevosmi पांडवानां धनंजयः मुनीनामप्यहं व्यासः कवीनां उशना कविः दंडो दमयतामस्मि नीतिरस्मि जिगीषताम् मौनं चैवास्मि गुह्यानां ज्ञानं ज्ञानवतामहम् यच्चापि सर्वभूतानां बीजं तदहमर्जुन न तदस्ति विना यत्स्यान् मया भूतं चराचरम् नान्तोस्ति मम दिव्यानां विभूतीनां परन्तप एष तु देशतः प्रोक्तो विभूतेर्विस्तरो मया.
The blessed Lord said, "Indeed, I shall tell you of my celestial magnificences, but only the main ones, O best of the Kurus. There is no end to my details. I am the Self, O Master of Sleep, dwelling in the heart of all beings, and the beginning, the middle, as well as the end of all beings. Of Adityas, I am Vishnu. Of luminosities, I am the sun with rays. Of Maruts, I am Marichi. Of heavenly bodies, I am the moon. Of Vedas, I am Samaveda. Of deities, I am Indra. Of senses, I am the mind. Of beings, I am awareness. Of the Rudras, I am Shiva. Of the Yakshas and Rakshasas, I am Kubera, the ruling deity of wealth. Of the Vasus, I am fire. Of the high-peaked ones, I am Meru. Know me, O son of Pritha, the chief of the priests, Brihaspati. Of commanders, I am Skanda. Of the lakes, I am ocean. Among great sages, I am Bhrigu. Of speeches, I am the one indestructible syllable, Om. Of sacrifices, I am the sacrifice called Japa. Of immovable ones, I am the Himalaya. Of all the trees, I am the holy fig. Of celestial sages, I am Narada. Of Gandharvas, I am Chitrarta. Of adepts, I am the sage Kapila. Among horses, know me to be Uchaisravas, born of the nectar of immortality. Of the chiefs of elephants, Airavata, and among human beings, the king. Of weapons, I am the thunderbolt. Of cows, I am the celestial wish-fulfilling cow. Of progenitors, I am passion. Of snakes, I am Vasuki. Among nagas, I am Ananta. Of sea creatures, I am Varuna. Among ancestors, I am Aryaman. Of controlling ones, I am Yamaraja, the god of death. Among daityas, I am Prahlada. Among calculators, I am time. Among beasts, I am the lion. Among birds, I am Garuda. Among blowing ones, I am wind. Among weapon-bearers, I am Rama. Of fish, I am the crocodile. Among the streams, I am the Ganges. I am the beginning, the end, as well as the middle of creation. Of sciences, I am the spiritual science. And of the discussants, I am debate. Of letters, I am the letter A. Of compounds, I am the compound of duality, Dwandva. I am the imperishable time. I am the ordainer facing in all directions. I am the death that plunders all, and I am also the origin of those who will come in the future. Among feminine forces, I am glory, affluence, speech, memory, intuitive wisdom, steadfastness, and forgiveness. Of hymns, I am Brihat Saman. Of meters, I am Gayatri. Of months, I am Mrigashirsha. Of seasons, I am the flowery spring. Of deceiving ones, I am gambling. Of the brilliant, I am brilliance. I am the victory, the initiator of determination, as well as the inner strength of those endowed with power. Of Vrishnis, I am Krishna. Of Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Also among Munis, I am Vyasa. And among those endowed with intuition, I am Ushanas. Of controlling ones, I am the staff. Of those desiring victory, I am the essence of polity. Of secrets, I am silence. And of the knowing ones, I am knowledge. Whatever is the seed of all beings, I am that, O Arjuna. There is no moving or unmoving entity that may exist without me. There is no end to my celestial magnificences, O scorcher of enemies. I have told this detail of my magnificences only by way of illustration. In these verses, the vibhutas, the extraordinary powers and manifestations of the Lord, are enumerated. The word bhuti means victory, happiness, and strength, and the word vibhuti means having special power and great strength. The self-existent reality is in the sun and in the smallest particle. It is in all that exists, but the ordinary person perceives the manifestation of the Lord in only a small number of things. He recognizes the presence of the Supreme Lord only in such things as religious symbols. But in fact, the Lord exists everywhere with one and the same equanimity. The ordinary person finds it difficult to realize that truth. In this universe of ours, there are innumerable objects. Therefore, the manifestations of the Lord are endless. The Supreme Self is the dweller in the heart of every being. He is the beginning, the middle, and the end of this universe. He is the self of every being. There is not even the smallest unit of matter or energy over which he does not have governing authority. The entire universe is his divine expansion. For those who are not able to grasp this grand idea of the all-pervading nature of the Lord, 70 manifestations are mentioned in these verses. These verses explain only the prominent manifestations of the Lord. They are examples of the Lord's power to manifest, rather than an all-inclusive list. These glorious and majestic manifestations of the Lord are mentioned in response to Arjuna's questions as to what the object of meditation should be. But for contemplators, it is not necessary to choose such objects for the concentration of the mind, because they are already aware of the omnipresent and omnipotent power in all objects of the universe, from the most minute to the most enormous. Initially, the meditator finds it difficult to control his dissipated mind. To aid those who are unable to meditate without a concrete object, the teacher recommends either a symbol, a light, or a sound that helps the student gather together the dissipated condition of the mind. In our long, unbroken lineage of meditation, it is recommended that the beginning meditator focus his mind on the flow of his breath. That makes one aware that all creatures of this universe are sustained by one and the same vital force, prana, the only one life-giver for all creatures. Concentrating on the flow of the breath has two definite benefits. First, because mind and breath are closely linked, concentration on the breath makes the breath become smooth, even, and calm, and the mind also becomes stilled. Second, the aspirant becomes aware that there is only one force that sustains the entire universe and all creatures. The realization that there is one absolute truth has immense philosophical value, for when one becomes aware that there is only one life force in all creatures, he learns to love all as he loves himself. Sri Krishna gives many alternatives for aspirants who are prepared to meditate, but do not know how to choose the objects of their meditation. He mentions the sun as one of these. Some manuals recommend gazing at the sun, But that can be injurious to the optic nerve and can lead one to lose his eyesight. So aspirants should not use gazing at the sun as the object of meditation. The scriptures offer a glimpse of how one should practice, but the meditational methods should be learned only under the guidance of a competent teacher. No yoga exercise, whether it be hatha yoga, pranayama, or raja yoga, should ever be practiced on one's own. Having received the profound teachings of Sri Krishna, Arjuna is now eager to know the practical way of meditation. The experience of the ancients and those great ones who have already trodden the path of meditation guides students in their advancement. The scriptures say that the aspirant should first have profound knowledge of the universe and all its forms, and of Brahman, from which this universe arises and by which it is sustained and returns to its primal source. Without having profound knowledge of the universe, the human being, the other creatures, and their relationship to one another, it is not of much use to abruptly begin the practice of meditation. Without building a profound philosophy, practice or sadhana remains incomplete. The Supreme Self is the Lord of all, from whom arise all beings in the beginning, who sustains them in the middle, and to whom they return in the end. He is the origin of all. Nothing in the universe is excluded from this power of powers. Anything that is considered to be a special manifestation, such as the sun, moon, stars, and oceans, actually has the same presence of the Lord that exists in all things, animate and inanimate, large and small. The sun among objects that shine, the moon among the bodies of the solar system, the mind among the instruments of knowledge, Om among the sacred sounds, the king among men, the lion among the animals, Garuda among the birds, Rama among the brave, and Vyasa among the sages are some of the special manifestations of the Lord, although his manifestations are endless. After one becomes aware of the Lord's manifestations, he finally meditates on the highest Lord who is the source of light, life, knowledge, and the whole of the universe. Verses 41 and 42.
Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam evava tatta devava gacchatvam mama tejaunsha sambhavam athava bahunaitena kim jnatena tavarjuna Vishtabhyaham idam kritsnam ekaunshena stito jagat.
Whatever aspect there may be, filled with magnificence, glory, or energy, know each and every one to be born of a particle of my brilliance. Of what use is it for you to know much more? Only with a particle of mine I dwell, holding this entire world. Poets and sages vainly praise the grandeur, beauty, and loftiness of different aspects of the Lord's manifestation. But manifestations are only fragments of the beauty of the whole. There is only one pervading power, and this universe is just a fraction of its manifestation. Of what use is it to grasp a partial view? That is only a glimpse of the part, and not the knowledge of the whole. To know partial truth is not to attain the knowledge of the infinite. Therefore, Arjuna, attain the knowledge of the whole, the Supreme Lord. Wherever grandeur, extraordinary beauty, or unusual loftiness exists, it is solely because of the Lord's manifestation. Whether that beauty is in human beings, animals, or any other aspect of manifestation in the universe, it is the Lord alone that smiles through all these faces. Thus ends the 10th chapter, in which the teachings of Sri Krishna on the glorious manifestations of the Lord are explained.